Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at fivestarchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Homebrew on the Brewing Network. Jason here, of course, as your host, and then we have Brian 1 and Brian 2.
Which one am I?
I don't know.
You're here first, so I think you're Brian 1, and I'm okay. Brian 2.
Unless we're counting backwards.
Can we just call you number 2?
No, I'm not a number.
Call me number 2.
I'm a free man.
Call me number 6.
This is going to be the JP and Bevo Love Fest show. I'm telling you right now.
I'm going to beat that girl senseless, verbally, of course, because I respect women too much to even look at them, much less like touch them.
You're
but
an idiot.
Because you were dangerously close to losing all your sponsors there for a second.
But bro,
You asked me to do a thing. I did the thing.
Bevo, a good show for you.
We have a good show for you today. Apparently, somehow, the board doesn't want me to talk. So, you know, and
the board and I agree.
I don't think she had any control over that.
Well, good thing I have control over her. Whatever that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
We have a good show for you. We are going to drink a clone of the world famous, or at least nationwide famouslessness, Resilience IPA, the Sierra Nevada recipe that they put out to help victims of the campfire that we had up here in California. What is that, a month and a half ago?
November,
2018.
It wasn't that long ago, but it seems like it was years ago. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Things move pretty quick, especially in this weird timeline we're part of. So we're going to talk to Walter here in a sec and drink his IPA. And then we have a fellow from Sweden who sent in a lager, and we're going to talk to him. He also sent in a bunch of commercial beer, but I'm not going to taste it on air because it's...
Well, they're barley wines, too. There's like a 12%.
Yeah, a barrel-aged imperial stout. It's just... That's too much.
Everybody should be so glad that I'm biting my tongue to not do the Swedish chef for the Muppets right now.
Yes, we are very glad. The labels are cool. What is this brewery?
I'm going to call it Fjeder Holmarnes Brewery.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Sure. Well, whenever we get the guest on, we'll ask him all about it because that's pretty nice. And you know what? I guess if you're going to send beer... across the continents and whatever, you might as well pack it full of extra stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know.
Gonna give a shout out to my brother-in-law in Denmark. If you're listening live, this is probably a good time to call into the show before the Swedish guy calls.
Yeah, it's like 6 o'clock, man.
I know. You might be awake.
Yeah. Before we talk to Walter, though, I do want to, of course, thank our title sponsor, Five Star Chemicals. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com. Learn about everything you need to make great beer, because you can't make great beer if you have terribly, terribly filthy and disgusting carboys and racking canes and buckets and spigots and all the kind of pump heads and ball valves and just everything. All your stuff is gross. Look at you. It's all gross. You know it's gross, and you've been avoiding cleaning it. But don't do that anymore. Go to fivestarchemicals.com. Go to your local homebrew shop. Ask for Five Star products.
Don't be a
they
basic
let you down.
Bitch. Just clean your shit.
That's right. Let Uncle Brian teach you all about that. All right, let's get Walter on the phone, huh? Learn about the old Resilience IPA, and we can actually have some of it.
This will be my first homebrewed version of it. But I guess the recipe's out there.
they just released it, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's cool. I can dig that. Walter, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, dude?
Oh, pretty good.
Nice. All right. So, hey, man, you've been on before, so we don't need to go into your history a whole lot, right?
No, no.
All right.
I've had some versions of this beer that have tasted different from the Sierra Nevada version.
I can imagine. I mean, it's
like people changed, maybe did some intentional changes or just their brewing system or their preferences. I don't know. Kind of creep into it.
Where did you get this recipe from, Walter?
It was just one release by Sierra Nevada. I tweaked a little bit for volume and water, but that's about it.
Okay. So Sierra Nevada released the recipe, and you're like, hey, I'm going to brew this.
Yeah.
All right. I want to
brew this. I like this beer. It's good.
I've never had it.
Walter, how far is Redding from Chico?
A little over an hour.
So do you go to Sierra Nevada a lot?
I have. I've actually been meaning to go do their tour. I've actually never gotten down there.
Oh, dude, their tour is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't done the tour either.
The tour's badass. It's one of those things, like, when you're close to stuff, you never actually go do it. And if you're from, like, the Bay Area, you're
That's
like,
true.
Oh, we'll make it a destination and we'll go do the tour.
Yeah.
The tour, man.
Well, I mean, basically, Fall River just opened up a brewery here. They're going to open up tours, and I'll probably never get to that either. So.
That's right. I actually am just in my bedroom all the time. I don't even really... well, hey, I'll tell you what. Then let's start judging this beer. What do you guys think? Brian, you want to go first? Brian Cooper?
I can do that.
All right, let's go.
Number one. Wrong sheet. The Swedish Amber Lager is, we judged this, and your bottle was labeled as a 14B, which is, you know, it's not a Scottish heavy. It's in the 2015 guidelines. I'm like, okay, wait, 14B, that rings a bell. That's 2008 guidelines. So I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? This is probably more of a classic American IPA, old-style kind of beer. So we're traveling back in time and judging it under those guidelines, which are a bit different. If you read 14B versus the modern version of American IPA, they changed a lot of things on it because the style has evolved. So, yeah, in the nose, I'm getting a bright citrusy hop up front. Medium-high fruity esters, very clean ale fermentation, no DMS or diacetyl or anything like that. Some, you know, also in the hop, some slight resin, some perfumey, kind of floral hop in there. I'm really enjoying the way that the hops are combining to express as a classic IPA. And the malt is, you know, it's got a little bit of kind of bread crust in there. It's not it's not a wimpy, like, no malt character IPA where it's just pale malt or one single malt and that's it. You know, there's I don't even know the recipe, honestly, but I, you know, there's some good malt in here too, kind of balancing that hop.
They made it kind of a really simple recipe, I think, because they wanted other breweries to do it. It was a really straightforward, basic recipe that they put out.
Yep.
Okay.
So appearance-wise, it's a rich orangey amber color with a large fluffy head, really fluffy head. It's stuck around very nicely, but it's my only complaint about the head. It's just a bit lopsided. It's kind of like chunky and globby.
It's almost like a Krausen.
Yeah,
it's a
Krausen kind of looking head. Looks like a fermenting beer. but very good clarity. I thought it was nice. You know, there's a little tiny bit of haze in there, but not too bad. You can have a little haze in IPA.
Sure.
Really?
Yes, you can. You sure can. Read those guidelines, man. Flavor-wise, I'm getting a medium-high hop flavor with the kind of citrus winning out, medium resin, some pine in there, kind of low behind that. Very clean ale fermentation. So, like, one thing I like about this beer is it's got the nice fruitiness to it in the flavor and the aroma. And brings out that bright citrus from the hops and the flavor and the aroma. So but definitely balance to the hops. The bitterness is, let's say, medium high. The beer finishes fairly dry. There's not a lot of sweetness left in there. So it makes you want another sip, like the style is designed. So despite the kind of malt complexity there, it still really works as an IPA. So hops and bitterness linger in the aftertaste, along with a little bit of alcohol. Which is nice and clean. Mouthfeel-wise, it's medium-bodied, low smooth alcohol warmth. Not very creamy, but still very smooth drinking beer. No obvious astringency, biting character, or anything like that. The carbonation, it's a medium high. It's kind of it's a little spritzy, but not over the top. It's right in there. Overall, I would just say, you know, awesome clone of the beer. It's I've had a few different versions of it, including the Sierra Nevada version several times, and it really comes across like you're drinking one of those, really. It's pretty good. Clean.
I picked up the Sierra Nevada version for work the other day, and it's honestly nowhere near the Sierra Nevada version quality wise because they're just really good at what they do.
Oh yeah,
that's why they are who they are.
Right.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I've been trying a lot of different beers, and I realize there's a lot of breweries out there that, you know, they make good beer, but it's not on par to some of the other breweries, and it's just
right.
Sierra Nevada just really does a great job at almost everything they do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that just think, oh, you know, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, because that's just everywhere, and that's what they do, and that's, oh, they're so boring. But they really brew a lot of different beers, and when you go up there, you realize it's amazing what they put out, and you know, stuff that you don't get elsewhere. You know, and that people might know about the Celebration and the Bigfoot and stuff, but well, they do a lot more than just that. They've got a really nice Vienna lager and just, yeah, some wonderful beers up there. So yeah, this beer comes across as a nice classic American IPA, rich in the maltiness, you know, enough bitterness there to keep it kind of you know, balanced, and a good hop aroma, not over the top, but yeah, I love it. Kind of takes me back to the 90s, dude. So, you know, take this beer. I would add some more modern tropical hops, lighten up the color a lot. Just take out any specialty malts, drop the bitterness way back, use some like hazy yeast in it, maybe put in some unmalted grains. That's my feedback for you there. So, but just kidding. No, I mean, it's like, it's a pretty smooth drinking beer. I don't know. I'm trying to kind of grasping at straws to say what else you can improve it. Because it's also kind of, we're not tasting the Sierra Nevada version here. I think theirs might be just a bit maltier.
It's a bit drier than what the recipe called for.
Okay. Yeah, this one finishes really dry, but I like that in this. We can talk about the clone beer category too. That's actually a style now, so you can, you know, yeah. I guess your challenge is if the judges don't know the beer you're cloning, then it's a problem, but that's category 34A, so I would have honestly entered this as 34A instead of, you know, with 14B as the base style, 2008 14B as the base style. You can do that.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any judges that aren't going to know this beer.
Yeah.
Everybody brewed it.
No, yeah, this is a good one to do a clone beer of, so yeah, everybody pretty much knows it. All across the country. So, nice job. I gave it a 39. I thought it was a really well done beer. And yeah, I would drink a lot of this.
Would?
Excellent.
Would or are?
I am. Yeah. Am drinking.
Am, yes.
All right, Brian Schar.
All right.
Give us your best, buddy.
Yeah, I largely echo what Brian One said over here. Really, really excellent beer. Aroma starts with a piney citrus hop aroma. Of low malt, no esters, very clean, no off aromas, no diacetyl, no alcohol. Gave us a 10 out of 12 for aroma. Appearance, you know, it's copper brown in color, very clear. The head is what I like to call heroic. It's really, really big head. Excuse me. Lasts for a long time, very persistent. 3 out of 3 for appearance. The flavor, you know, 15 out of 20. It's initially light caramel malt, and there's, can I read my own writing? Let's see. Piney resiny hops, yes. It's, being a doctor of homebrew, my handwriting is atrocious.
And trying, true.
And I kind of look over at, as an aside, I look over at Brian's, I'm like, what is this mass of text that this man has generated? And there's no way I could ever actually convert these hieroglyphs to actual human speech.
People say I write like a doctor, but I feel like I write really nicely. I don't know.
Well, you are a doctor. I mean, you're the original doctor of homebrew.
Walter, we'll send you our sheets. We'll email you a scan of these so you can be the judge of this.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So there's a sort of piney resiny hops followed mid-palate by what I think is a high bitterness level, really well attenuated. And Brian talked about this. I really love the fact... And I'm going to kind of skip ahead here a little, but I love this is kind of a throwback IPA with the caramel malt and the malt to balance the hops. But to make that work, it's got to be well attenuated or it's just a sweet mess with hops in it.
Yeah.
And this is just a really – that attenuation really it makes this beer work.
Makes it modern,
right.
Actually. Yeah.
It makes it modern. It makes it drinkable. It's really, really well done, man. Balance toward the balance is toward hop flavor and hop bitterness. Finish is long and bitter. Get no esters or diacetyl. Again, 15 out of 20. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5. Body's medium. Carbonation, medium. No warming. Don't get that it's creamy. It's not a style that calls for creaminess. Not astringent. And for overall impression, 8 out of 10. This beer actually reminds me a lot of Celebration. You know, because the better, I think the better examples, and Sierra Nevada swears up and down Celebration has the same recipe every year, and I believe them, and I think the variance is just the hop harvest. Mm-hmm. I hated Celebration this year. There's about 1 out of 5 years I just hate Celebration, and this 2018 is like, I can't drink this.
And crazy, some, dude.
Maybe I am.
I thought it was good this year.
And in some years, I will drink like cases of that stuff, but... And this beer reminds me a lot of good Celebration. It's definitely a throwback type IPA. Really well done. Give it 41 out of 50. I think excellent, excellent beer. I would love to hear more about how you made it and your process and whatever you want to tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Walter, go for it, dude.
Yeah, the only major changes we have, because of the car fire up here, the city actually changed their water source from river water to groundwater, and the the pH coming out of my tap is like 7.8, which is a little bit to deal with.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so the only real changes over the base recipe that Sierra Nevada put out was I added pretty much everything anymore. I'm adding a quarter pint of acid malt to it.
Okay.
Are you going to start making Lutefisk out of that
because
water
it's so
or
high.
What's
and,
that, Walter?
I did 10 grams of Epsom salt. But besides that, the only thing I think I might have changed, because we had a lot of people in our club brewed this, and they added, it's only a 1 ounce total of dry hops in this. It's just half Centennial and half Cascade dry hops, and a lot of people doubled up on the dry hops. But.
Hmm.
Other than that, it's just a Sierra Nevada recipe.
Sounds great. Yeah. I mean, nice job. It works.
Walter, what is your homebrew club up there? Give them a shout out.
Oh, it's Shasta Society of Brewers.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, and we're trying to we're kind of trying to figure some things out now. Our homebrew shop is closing the brick and mortar store. They're just going to get out there. They're just going to put out their, they have a machine shop and stuff too. They, so hopefully, you know, so we're all trying to figure out what, who we're going, where we're going. I think most people are kind of set on more beer just because it's, you know, close for shipping and everything else. But yeah.
Yeah.
Is your club going to NCHF this year?
Honestly, we don't have enough people that are completely interested in doing it.
Okay, I was curious
even the competition, so people are, there's only a couple of us, I think, are planning on it.
Fair enough. If you come up to NCHF, hopefully Brian and I and Jason or some combination of us will see you.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I think I said this before, I'm hoping over the summer my wife's work, her corporate office is in Concord, and she has to go there once a quarter, so I'm hoping over the summer I get down there with her.
Yeah, pop on in.
Yeah. Excellent.
And it's Concord.
Right.
Or Concord. However it is. I'm from the East Coast. It's Concord.
There you go.
This is not New Hampshire, though. This is California.
All right, Walter. Well, hey, man, we'll let you go. Thanks a lot for sending the beer.
All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Sweet
Thanks.
Concord.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
You shall not have been mortally wounded in vain.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, everybody, if we can, if everyone's okay with that. And then we're going to come back. We're going to speak to our Swedish friend and drink some Swedish lager and talk about all things Swedish, I suppose. I don't know.
Nice.
All right. We'll see. It'll be a good time. It's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Now, back to the examination.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to get Albert on the line here in just a second. We're going to talk some Swedish lagers. I'm pretty excited about that, to be honest with you. But, Brian, you were in Singapore. We teased that on the last, I think it was the last show.
It was the last show.
And we never got to it. But how was the, did you get the classic Singapore? Because apparently, where was the Singapore sling invented, by the way?
So the Singapore Sling was invented at the Raffles Hotel.
There you go.
By a Vietnamese, I believe Vietnamese bartender, about 100 plus years ago. And the Raffles Hotel is the classic, it's a giant place. It's undergoing renovation. It has to have 500 rooms. It's like a three-story, just sprawling block-size hotel. You know, Jack London was there, Somerset Maugham, there's a lot of history. The bar there is called the Long Bar. So the hotel is undergoing renovation, but as one might imagine, the Long Bar and the gift shop are open. So if one is in Singapore, one can go to the bar and have a classic Singapore sling. So you walk in, and the Long Bar is pretty big. The two sort of notable features of the place are There's huge burlap bags of peanuts. They encourage you to eat and throw the shells on the floor. Like the only place in Singapore you can throw stuff on the floor and not like get caned or some shit.
Right.
So not to make Singapore sound depressing. Singapore is actually a lot of fun. So you have the peanuts, but then there's this machine on the bar. It's a hand cranked. So imagine, you know, the cocktail shakers, right? The stainless steel shakers. There's a machine on the bar. You can put, six or eight of them in. And there's a little divot on the top, so it kind of screws in, and they can kind of clamp it in.
Right.
And then the guy goes to the end and just hand, this is a 100-year-old machine. It's like a crankshaft on an engine. He turns the crank, and like all of these shakers shake at once.
Damn.
The guy will make like freaking 30 Singapore slings at once.
Jesus criminy.
And so you go in and there's all these things online about, oh, a sling has this or this or this. And they even have kind of a shelf that has purportedly the ingredients. But there is kind of they use the bottle that has the unmarked bottle with like the flavoring in there.
Okay.
And
you go, secret flavor?
Yeah, it's somewhat secret. Mm. So you go and you pay $30 American for one of these.
Hell no, dude.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm out.
You go on TripAdvisor and they have all these discussions of this. And there's one guy who's like, yeah, are you going to go there and drink like five of these? No. You know, you're going to go, are you going to leave Singapore and regret that you bought a Singapore sling at the classic Raffles bar? No, you're not. I mean, you're going for the experience. And the experience is fun. And, my girlfriend and I went, and we was there for a conference. We ended up having some tourist time. We went one night, and it was just super fun.
Okay. Well, hey, man.
You know, when I went to New Orleans,
I would have one and leave, which we did.
I wouldn't say I would necessarily repeat buying the hand grenade that I bought on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, but, you know, was it worth what I paid?
Did you get a hurricane at a T-shirt shop? Because that's a surefire way for
the hurricanes
a
were good. Yeah, at the the classic place.
Go get one at a T-shirt shop, and you will be sick pretty much the moment you finish drinking that.
I mean, I guess I get it, but $30 is still like
it's confiscatory. But Singapore is expensive, and you just kind of deal with it. Yeah, it's an expensive city. So it's like being in the Bay Area or Tokyo or something.
Did you watch that movie Shirkers?
No, I've not heard of
Netflix.
It. No.
It's like this movie that got stolen from this gal that made it when she was like a teenager, and this guy was kind of like a weird, like, I don't know, he like helped produce her film, and then he just disappeared with all the film. So he was putting it together, and then they got...
So scam.
Yeah. Anyway, watch the movie. It's kind of interesting. But
interesting.
Singapore's changed a lot, it sounds like, you know, from the footage in the movie is from like really old, and then they flash forward, and it's interesting, but yeah.
We watched Crazy Rich Asians on the plane.
Oh, boy, yeah, that's a fun one.
But it didn't really give us any useful insights into actually being in Singapore.
No.
The conference was kind of fun. It was this weird, a lot smaller than I would have expected as an indoor agriculture thing, but I made some good contacts, and it was good from a business standpoint.
Met some Americans.
Met some Philadelphians, which was cracking me up. They were good guys. Some Australians.
I'm from Philly.
Boy.
Well, look, Albert's not... he says he's waiting, but, whatever. But, hey, in the meantime, I brought this commercial lager. It's called Goldmine.
Let's fire this up, bro.
And I just wanted to share it with you guys. I don't think it's terrible at all. I actually really enjoy it. It's $4 a six-pack at Whole Foods. And, it says it's premium brewed on it, so I don't know how you can go wrong.
What does premium brewed mean?
Well, though? Brian, I'm glad you asked that question. Premium brewed means that only with the finest overpaid union labor. And I think that's really what it means. I don't know. I actually have no idea. But I don't know, man. For $4.
It's really clear.
Yeah, it's clear. And
it's got a huge head.
It's highly carbonated. Sweet, a little green apple-y, but, maybe red apple-y. Oh, here you go. Albert's calling.
I want more carbonation. I say.
Albert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good morning.
I'm doing good.
Awesome, awesome.
Good morning, yeah.
Thanks for sending us some beer, and we got, you sent some commercial beer with you too, and I appreciate that, but we have a few home brews from you that we can tap into at any point in the next couple of months, so I'm very excited about that. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, I thought more the merrier,
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, this commercial beer real quick that you sent, can you say the brewer name? Because I'm going to break my face if I say that.
Yeah, it's called Fjäder Holmarna. It means a feather, like islands. It's like a 15-minute boat ride out of Stockholm Central. It has no bridges or nothing. You have to take a boat to get there. All their equipment, all their malt, everything has to come by boat.
Can you say that again? Because we all kind of were started and we're like, we don't quite understand what you said. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Fjäder Holmarna.
Fjäder Holmarna.
Fjäder Holmarna.
Yeah, brewery.
Fjäder Holmarna's okay.
I was saying completely wrong.
Yeah,
great little brewery, and awesome. They have like boat rides going there all summer, so you can go through their brew pub and taste their beers.
And you said the barley wines, because those will hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
But we sent the barley wines and also the chocolate imperial stout. Those are really nice. Good. Yeah,
no, nice. I those broke. I didn't bring those for everybody, and it's no, I'm kidding. Yeah, thank you very much. That was really cool. But today we're going to taste your lager.
Yes.
And so, how long have you been homebrewing out there in Sweden?
I started around 4 years ago. And it became an obsession very fastly. So Sweden is a big beer culture too. So
Is big homebrew scene, or is it kind of?
Yeah, it's really expanding in the last 5-6 years.
Okay, awesome, so, great. Is this your first lager that you've tried?
No. It's been a lot of lagers.
Okay,
you do one of the first thing you started, but you experiment with the style, test the water profile, and try to figure out different kinds of ways to do it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And then, so what do you want us to talk about with this lager here? Are you looking for recipe help or any sort of just direction to go, or how can we help you on this?
Question about the water profile, and also I might think this batch might have something wrong with it. So I just want you to check it out.
Cool.
Okay.
We're more than happy to do that. I like your labels, by the way, too. They're very small.
Thank you.
Very.
Labels really cool.
Yeah, I like them.
Labels great.
Now, is there such a thing as a Swedish brew lager? Is there a specialty in Sweden for a certain kind of lager?
I don't think there's in the competition version,
yeah.
But if you look in the market version, I think they're all a bit lighter, not as much body, and a lot higher in like the malt flavors. So that's the thing I was going for.
Yeah, we were kind of figuring out what to judge it as, and we just landed on...
Yeah, I think it would be like a Central American dark lager, maybe, because it's a little bit darker.
We went with the 2B International Amber Lager, just for lack of anything.
Yeah, I think that would be...
That's good enough.
The right category.
Okay. All right, well, hey, Brian Cooper, why don't you start us out? Dude.
Okay. Yeah, so in the nose, I'm getting a low... kind of bread crust like malt with a very low spicy hop. There is a fair amount of Brettanomyces yeast character going on here. It seems cleanly lagered otherwise, but we were like, is this intentional, or and do we, do we know what's going on here? But Brian and I were discussing. I was like, does this seem like an accidental Brett character, or is this just what they do with their lagers there? I don't know. So we're like, it seems maybe intentional. So it's just kind of smells like it's going to be a pretty dry beer. No obvious sweetness in the nose, and no fruitiness. So that's kind of nice. The beer is it's a nice, pretty medium amber color and quite clear. With a low cream-colored head, mostly finer bubbles covering the beer, and sticks around for a good while. So I gave it full points for appearance. It would meet that for the style. Flavor-wise, I'm getting a medium malt, again, kind of bread, white bread crust-like notes. It's not toasty at all. It's not like Vienna Lager-like. It's just a nice clean, kind of mellow, slightly bread-crusty note in there, along with the kind of base malt behind it there. It's not sticking out as really pilsy or sulfury either. It's just pretty smooth malt. Finishes, semi-dry, I guess. It's got a lot of kind of Brett... hay-like flavors in there. It's not going towards barnyard or anything like that, but it's definitely kind of haystack, a little interesting Brett quality in there. So that maybe this is the thing that you're hunting for, just Brettanomyces.
That's the farmhouse touch to it.
Farmhouse, yeah. Something,
It might have been going a little too far with this one. That might be the issue, but it's not uncommon to have a little bit of it.
Yeah, so that can
character.
Be okay. Yeah, then it's it's balanced to the malt, and it seems cleanly lagered. The malt and Brett kind of linger in the aftertaste together, with a low spicy hop kind of behind that. Very low bitterness. It's not aggressive at all. It's just really smooth drinking. Medium light bodied in the mouthfeel, with medium carbonation, not getting any warmth. The label says it's 4.5%, so there wouldn't be any warmth there, nothing harsh. But somewhat creamy, kind of a light, kind of leathery texture from the Brett, I would say. The way it kind of floats off your tongue and leaves it kind of dry.
Yeah.
Interesting beer. Overall, I really like this beer, and I could drink a lot of it. It's not something I'm familiar with, or that would be something I would commonly find anywhere, except maybe an all Brett beer. But some of those are just too much, too much Brett, and it dries out too much. This has a little bit of a hint of some sweetness in there, but not too much. But it keeps it interesting, and I'm just not sure where to categorize it. I mean, I think one thing that we can talk about as judges is where do you, when you have a beer like this that is not obviously meeting one style or another, where do you place it if you were to enter it in a competition? So, you know, there's a category called 28A. It's a Brett beer, and you could declare like a 2B International Amber Lager as the base, or just, you know, I mean, maybe it's a new style. Is this a I just was really curious. Is this a thing in Sweden? Like, some of them taste like this. It's definitely not a straight 2B. So it's really interesting, but it was kind of hard for me to score. Judging it according to the 2B, I kind of just landed at a 30 because it's a really good beer and it's obviously well crafted, but it's hard to peg what the intention was with it. If it was just to make a really smooth, interesting, drinkable beer, hey, you succeeded.
That's this.
There.
Yeah, that's this for sure.
Yeah, so, the problem is, I think the Brett carry is even a little bit too high. Yeah. I think it should be even a bit lower, so it would just be in the end of the palate.
Just in the finish, yeah.
Yeah, in the finish, and it just comes really a little too sharp in the nose right now. Mm. So I'm trying to like figure out how to.
Is this a 2B or not 2B?
God damn it, Brian.
Question, pretty much.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian. Let's see what you have to say here, smartass.
Yeah, I had similar comments. Love the label. It's really well done. Great graphic design. Initially, so, you know, Brian and I struggled for a while, as he had said, like, what category do we judge this in? We ended up in 2B. The aroma, immediately out of the gate, the aroma had like a Brett Funk to it. But Brett Funk, like, it was intentional. And I'm used to having, what's interesting is when you have beers that have gotten funky or sour by accident, they're usually not pleasant. This beer was really good. I mean, I thought that maybe you'd had a few too many and might have sent us a funky beer by mistake because this was well done.
You're right, and I was actually just thinking the same thing, that unintentional contaminated beers are very sharp, and, you know, they're like a sea urchin. They're just spiky flavors all over the place. But
sometimes,
this
phenolic or biting or harsh, astringent.
All of it. Yeah. And this is very deliberate, very smooth, very focused.
Yeah,
Brett flavors, which does mark either you didn't wash something, you got extraordinarily lucky, or, you know, this was on purpose. So I definitely agree. I got that too.
So I'm gonna just briefly back up here and kind of go outside of this beer and talk about what happens in competition.
Okay.
So if I was judging a lager category, and I got this beer, and it tasted good, because this beer tastes good. This is a good beer. I would drink a
Agreed.
Several of these.
Yeah.
If I got this, I'd be like, well, this is a funky Brett beer. This is not a lager. So what'll happen, you know, sometimes people get their bottles confused, right? It happens. Sometimes there are some bottles that get confused. So I'll ask the steward for a second bottle. Like, this is not, and, you know, there's example. I mean, this has happened to everyone who judges more than a little bit. Like, you're judging Pilsner and suddenly a stout comes out. Like, you know, somebody totally screwed this up. And, you know, the organizer will look at things. And if it was the entrant's fault, well, you bring out a second bottle, it's the same thing. Like, well, you judge it by what the entrant declared. And it could be a great beer, but it just wasn't what you declared it to be, so it doesn't score as well.
It's also not impossible for a homebrew competition organizer or his staff to inadvertently mix a beer. So, you know, that's
even if they not think always that the didn't happen. Yeah. So, but I think the aroma was very Bretty. It doesn't smell bad. It smells good. It's a good aroma, but it's a Brett Funk. It's not a lager. There's no sulfur. Get a very low sort of malt aroma, a little light toast caramel. Give that 5 out of 12 for aroma.
Yeah.
Appearance is fine. You know, it's crystal clear, copper color. Head is perfect. Flavor is dominated by the Brett Funk also. It tastes intentional. It's tasty. I like it.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
I'm not gonna repeat all the stuff. That I agree with Brian. Mouthfeel, 4 out of 5. You know, it's maybe a little bit more carbonation would have been good. And for overall impression, I gave it a 4 out of 10, not because it's bad, but because there wasn't a declared category, and we kind of had to put it in a lager category because that's what the label said. And then it came out Brett. And if it had been some kind of sour category, funky category, it probably would have gotten, 10, 15 points higher. But, we're kind of constrained by what it's called. And
even if it's pretty mellow, because it is fairly reserved, how would it have fared? Would it really been a 10 or 15 point jump? It was in a
10 points. 10 points if it were a farmhouse. Yeah, I'd have gone. I'd have gone to mid-30s on this as a farmhouse.
Okay.
Brian, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that. If you judge it as a straight international amber lager, I was just kind of generous with it because, I didn't understand, where it should have been placed, and I just kind of went with, I'll just give it a 30 because I really enjoy drinking it, and
that's part of the question.
Yeah.
Actually. And we don't want to be jerks to you because you set this beer Sweden.
The question was, I've always been experimenting. I've been brewing a lot of lagers, and I've been experimenting with some of the breaths that I've been founding around the workshop, some wild cultures. And I didn't really know where to put this in because it's the original recipe is a lager.
Yeah.
You get this breath character that comes through very more than expected. And
you know,
I don't really
strain?
Know how to put it in the competition venue.
I think it's just a wild one he picked up, he said.
Just a wild,
I picked it up intentionally.
Yeah.
I grew it up in I plated it and I added it.
Cool.
In secondary.
I think it's great. I think the recipe that you picked for it plays really well. Was this the first beer that you used it in?
Yes.
Okay.
The first one I did this wild yeast. I had other wild yeast that I picked up, but I plated this wild yeast and added it into a week of brewing it.
Okay.
And you mentioned something about water.
I already had pretty much...
You mentioned something about water, too. I'm not detecting any problem with the water. I think the water you used works fine for the style. Was there a specific question about water?
No, but in Stockholm we have a pretty it's a medium everything water.
Yeah.
So you have to add a lot of calcium and magnesium, and you have to build it up a bit. So I just wonder if it was good enough for a lager balance with the malt flavors with the sharpness in the end.
Yeah, it doesn't taste minerally at all. It's really good. Water seems great.
Yeah.
Albert, are you in a homebrew club there? Are there clubs in Sweden?
Yes, I'm part of the Swedish Homebrew Association.
Oh, wonderful. How many people are in that?
I think we are about 3,000.
Holy cow!
So we're getting up there.
You should move to one city, and then you just the whole entire city brews is a homebrew city.
Yeah, we're split up all over the country, but they have been starting making competitions going up north and going down south, from my point of view. So it's spreading a lot through the country. So it's growing a lot.
So have you shared this beer with your club mates or?
Oh, I go to all competitions and share my beer.
Very cool.
I wouldn't be able to drink the beer otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were talking about that on the last show with the. That's why I use the Pico Brew Zymatic now, but I'm going to upgrade it and do a little still and do whatever because I can't even drink 5 gallons of the same thing. I just don't want it.
And you're still
I don't drink that
your
much.
Essential oils. Of
That's
course.
True. I need oils. I'm a Greek. I'm very oily by
That's
nature
right.
in this climate. I doesn't.
And your oil is essential to you.
That's right. All right, Albert. Well, if there's anything else, do you have any other questions for the guys before we let you go?
So to sum it up, it would be categorized as a farmhouse lager, if you would put it in a category, or like a farmhouse ale.
Yeah, I would definitely enter this as more of a farmhouse because the Brett's really pleasant. I mean, this is a very drinkable, very well attenuated, very pleasant beer, but it's not... If I'm going to grab a lager of some kind, this is not what I'm going to grab.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's not...
It's not refreshing.
Not crisp and, yeah, it's smooth, but it's, yeah, it's not like, yeah, thirst quenching.
A lager is Pilsner malt and high carbonation and sulfur and all that, and this beer is great, but it's none of that.
What if it had a little more, like a little more bitterness, a little more hop character to it?
It's still too much Brett.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brian?
Too much bread?
Americans always want to hop everything up. That's our advice to you from America.
Put more hops. Hops in. But I mean,
to your point, Brian, it's not crisp, and I wonder if that like a more firm bitterness, like a typical lager would have. I wonder if that would help with the sweetness.
You could put some more sulfates in the water, and some a little more bittering hop, and a little more. Aroma hop and see what happens, but I kind of like it as is. You know?
I like it as is too. I'm just saying if you wanted to make it a little more crisp and refreshing in an approachable way like that, but
I just wonder if the Brett is what's preventing the crispness from happening. Yeah. You know, otherwise, what did you taste the base style separately, Albert?
I tasted it before I added the Brett.
Yeah.
But it wasn't fully fermented then, so it has yes and no. I done this recipe before without the Brett, and then it was a different story.
Is it more like a Vienna lager, or is it?
More of a Vienna lager. A little more of the caramel came through.
Mm-hmm. Would you
a little more of that biscuity?
Toastiness.
Flavor.
Yeah.
And a more like sparkling finish with a little more carbonation.
Would so I guess to his question, would you even declare it as a lager? Like a farmhouse, is there a farmhouse lager category first of all?
No.
So would you
farmhouse beer essentially.
Okay. So but would you put it as a lager?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Well, I think I would argue that if the base style is a lager, you can enter it as a, if you can get past the point that, it's not going to be as crisp as a non-Brett aged lager, this is what the Brett is doing to the beer, and it works.
Yeah.
And you can declare a 2B base style. I don't think it declares, it doesn't express itself as like some specific ale that I can think of either, it's. It is what it is. It's kind of its own animal here. I wish all the listeners could kind of taste it with us because you'd understand
that. It's a very different beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Does that answer any question at all, Albert?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It does.
Okay. Anything else?
No, yes. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course, yeah. Thank you very much for sending the beers, and we'll be in touch for the next one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Albert.
All right, Albert. Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, it was a very unique beer.
I hope he's drinking some beer over there at 7 a.m. In Sweden.
It was very cool of him to send this all the way from Sweden. It was good. I mean, I don't want my score to imply that it wasn't a good beer. It was very flavorful and very tasty.
You know who else makes flavorful and tasty beer? Neshaminy Creek Brewing.
Really?
They've been brewing award-winning beers in Croydon, Pennsylvania since 2012. Proud winners of 4 Philly Beer Scene Magazine Awards for Brewer of the Year and 3 for Brewery of the Year. 2-time GABF Vienna Style Lager Medal winner, 2013 for gold and 2016 for the bronze. And they also won a bronze for their smoked lager in 2016 and 17. So they're no slouches, that's for sure. They have a big-ass tap room with 24 beers on tap, 18 of which are rotating and seasonal and or limited. A variety of beer styles from lagers to double IPAs to saisons and sour beers, all sorts of stuff. Also, if you can't make it to Croydon or don't know where that is, hit up their second location in Jenkintown called the Borough Brewhouse, which features a full menu and 22 beers on tap, including guest taps from local breweries, meaderies, as well as Pennsylvania cider. Check out NeshaminyCreekBrewing.com.
What if we don't know where Jenkintown is either?
Then go to Croydon.
Where's Croydon?
Well, not in Jenkintown.
Turn left at Croydon.
I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to give some stuff away, and then we're going to be out of here. This is Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Do you know?
know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, thanks for sticking with us. We're about to get out of here, but before we do, pure liquid yeast means better beers. White Labs boasts the highest concentration of yeast in the industry thanks to their patented Flex Cell technology and pure pitch packaging. The yeast contained and delivered using these innovations are propagated in all grain wort, providing the perfect nutrients for growth and optimal performance. With White Labs pure liquid yeast, your finished beers will meet the high-quality flavor profiles that you intend to produce. Discover the White Labs difference. Visit whitelabs.com/yeastbank to find the perfect strain for your next beer. And if you don't, you're a loser. You're a loser.
And you suck, and your beer will suck, and life sucks.
That's right.
Bad.
And everything sucks here. I'm not even going to fill the sheet out. How about that? I don't care.
Your
records. I don't need to keep records. I can do whatever I want. All right, we're going to give away a $40 gift certificate to grogtag.com. What is GrogTag? Good question. GrogTag is your one-stop homebrew customization shop. They have it all from reusable beer and wine labels to durable metal signs, high-quality coasters, and everything is customizable. So get creative over on GrogTag.com with one of their hundreds of templates. Say, use code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order. That's GrogTag.com. 10%.
I love the GrogTag stuff I've gotten in the past. It's great.
GrogTags are great, dude. Yeah. They're great people, and, you know, I'm one of them.
Good beer signs for your garage.
All right, Brian, who is our winner for today in the $40 to GrogTag John?
Well, we just wanted you to have to ship it all the way to Sweden, so we intentionally scored Albert's beer so that he would win it.
And, Albert, all right. Cheers.
At least your beer will look good.
Congratulations, Albert.
It tastes good, too, actually, man.
Yeah.
Let me make a note of that because I am too stupid to remember.
This could be a new style. You could do like, get a brewery to put some of this out there, make friends with somebody, and
Swedish funky lager.
I liked it. It was a good time.
Yeah. SFL is going to be the new thing in like 3 years, man.
And you can drink
Christ,
a lot of it. It's
out of a bowl.
4.5%.
All right. Are we done? We're getting out of here, boys?
Yep. I think we're done.
You can't make me get out of here. You can't make me leave.
What an interesting show with a resilience clone and Swedish beer.
It was a good time, right?
Fun time.
Yeah, we got some commercial beer out of the way. We got this gold. What did you think of the gold mine?
That was pretty tasty.
You know, it was.
For $4?
For a $4 beer, it was all
$4
right.
Beer, dude.
Good lawnmower beer.
It's better than Old Milwaukee.
It's from New York, Rochester, brewed by Gold Mine Brews. No ABV on it, but.
It's. adequate.
5-inch, I would guess.
Yeah. It works, man.
4.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This has been Dr. Homebrew, of course. If you're interested in being on the show, you can email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com, and he will get back to you way, way sooner than I ever did, and that's a good thing. And we'll get you on the show, and we'll get you settled in, and we'll get your beers reviewed by two grandmasters.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I'm not official yet, but
not official yet.
The points. Supposedly, I need to email Gordon or something.
Email him right now, dude. Come on.
All right.
Let's go.
Gordon.
But anyway, it's pretty much you can't enter a competition and get two grandmasters on your panel. That doesn't happen, right? I can say that. I'm just going to say that. So email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. Get on Dr. Homebrew. Get your beer fixed. And get to listening to other shows like Heads and Tails on this program, on this network. We have a whole bunch of stuff. And, like that. All right, I'm going to get out of here. And so should you. Until next time, be good to each other.